The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of Jesus, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. And as they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swaying in the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare the way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord.
Since John the Baptist will vacate our scripture readings after today, let me just say a few quick words about who this John the Baptist is in the Gospels. Only Luke tells us about his birth. You remember the visitation, Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. And you have the Magnificat, you have all of that, and then the birth of John and the naming of John the Baptist. And this happens 6 months into the pregnancy of Elizabeth. 6 months before the birth of Jesus, 3 months into the pregnancy of Elizabeth. And therefore we celebrate the feast days in the life of the church in that manner. The other Gospels outside of Luke tell us somewhat about John in the desert. And they teach us about, by the way, the death of John the Baptist, which appears in three Gospels, in Matthew and in Mark, in 14 and chapter 6 in Mark. You have the Salome moment, you know, the dancing, and then he gets his head cut off. It's just a very fascinating story. Well, you know, there's a, parenthetically, the story told with good historical basis about the bishop who came to a parish on one occasion and for confirmation, and at the offertory they had a young woman do a liturgical dance up here, and the bishop didn't look too pleased. And he turned to the pastor and he said, If she asks for your head, I will give it to her. Actually, Luke mentions the death of John the Baptist, but he does not mention Salome. So much for the life and times of John the Baptist. He appears in the desert, and he identifies the Messiah. That's very strong in the Gospel of John. He is the one who points out the Messiah. And he preaches with certainty a rigorous gospel. We had it last Sunday. When the Messiah comes, he already has his axe to the root of the tree. And any tree which does not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown out and burned. He also has his winnowing fan to clear his threshing floor. He will take in the corn, and the chaff will be burned in unquenchable fire. He preaches with rigor and certainty when he's preaching in the desert. And then we come to today's gospel. And this incident about John in prison appears only in two gospels. It appears here in chapter 11 of Matthew and in chapter 7 in the Gospel of Luke. I want to encourage you to look at the scriptures. They're very exciting. Please engage the Word of God. Make it come to life. So this is mentioned in Matthew and in Luke. And now he is in darkness. He's in prison. He's alone. And now it would appear he has some kind of a crisis. And the one about whom he was certain, now he begins to wonder. For in darkness, it's a place of questions. And they say that your moral development only happens and begins when you ask questions. So John sends his disciples to Jesus. Luke says two disciples. The other one says some disciples come to Jesus and say, John wants to know, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? What prompts him to ask that question? What prompts him to ask the question is, he hears about the works that Jesus is doing, and this is not the Messiah he expected. He expected a rigorous, judgmental, severe Messiah, and all of a sudden, he's got a Messiah who is healing and forgiving and tending to people. So he wonders, is this the one who is to come? And he sends messengers to Jesus. Go back, Jesus says, and tell John what you see and what you hear. Because John seems to be in doubt. Now, did you ever doubt anything? I mean, serious religious things in your life. I've wondered myself a few times about this afterlife. You know, it better be there. You know, I mean, the heaven and all that, you know, and the infinite love of God, Jesus, it better be there. Because I'm relying on this, and like, forever is a long time. So I'm relying that that's there. But across my mind is to say, am I really sure? Now, Cardinal Manning used to say to me that he thinks the judgment is they will play in slow motion your life. And I said, are you sure about that? Because this could be a long and adventurous film of my life. Not sure I want to look at that in slow motion. About what are you certain? Jesus says, why did you go out into the desert? To look at royal palaces or people dressed in purple or important people? Actually, there were palaces in the desert. And I know some of you who have visited the desert area know this. There was the Herodian, which was a palace of Herod, and Masada had a palace, and Machaerus had a palace. So there were palaces in the desert. But that's not why you went out. Because when you have a crisis in your life, and when you have deep questions in your life, you don't go to Wall Street. You look for a prophet. You look for somebody who understands life in a deep and mystical way. When you have your deep, deep questions in life. Not infrequently, people come to me and say, I need a book that's got all the answers. We used to have books like that in the old days. Because we had all the answers in the old days. We were certain about things. We knew those Protestants were wrong. We remember back in the seminary, we had one ancient professor, and he used to say, of course, in Ireland it was all Catholic, it was a few Protestants. He'd say, those Protestants are wrong, and we won't forgive them until they come to us on their knees and confess. And I said, oh my God, mercy. This is when we had all the answers. And people say, do you have a book? Because I have some evangelical person or somebody else who is an atheist, and they're asking me all these questions, and I don't have an answer. There isn't any book that's got all the answers. And when you come to the big questions in life, the afterlife and the judgment, there is no book to tell you that. There is no book that will guarantee you it isn't a movie in slow motion about your life when you come to judgment. There is no book that will guarantee you that you're going to go to heaven. It's an act of faith. Somehow I surrender to Jesus Christ. I renew my faith in the infinite love of God. That's where I find the answer to the big questions in life. You won't find them in a book. You'll find them in prayer. You'll find them in your interior life. You'll find them in contemplation when you allow God into your life. You will find them when you surrender to Jesus Christ and believe in a new way that God's love is infinite. There is the answer to the big questions in life. The only book in which you will look to seek the deepest and most profound answers to your questions is the living Word of God. Attach yourself to the living Word of God. It comes before the Code of Canon Law. It comes before the Catechism. The Word of God is alive, and the Word of God will respond in faith to those who become attached and allow this Word to feed us. Every one of us at some time in life will encounter a darkness, a struggle, wondering about deep and heavy, enduring questions. And we will send messengers to Jesus saying, you know, are you the one who is to come? And Jesus will say, look at what I am doing. The healing, loving, forgiving God. There will be your answer. And finally, a familiar story, but worth recalling, and it fits into our reflection today. Way back then, when I was in my last incarnation and I was young, my hair was black, and I was very cheerful. Fulton Sheen was the god of religious speakers, way back when Fulton Sheen, and he had this story. Somewhat familiar to you, but worth recalling. If you were arrested tomorrow for being a follower of Jesus Christ, and they took you into court because you were a follower of Jesus Christ, would they have enough evidence to convict you? It's a very good question. Amen. We have our preschool children, the wonder and the beauty of these children. We have about 80 children in preschool, and they meet every Sunday here while we're praying in here. Our wonderful catechists are evangelizing and being evangelized.
And as the children gather, I want to say a special word of thanks to all the parents, in particular to a few of our leaders in the preschool,
and you represent the entire community. To Alex Uriarte, Jacqueline Wagner, and Matthew Umhofer, and Tracy Tobin, and all your co-workers, thank you very much for the manner in which you bring the church to life for these children. Let's give them a big applause. Okay, we're going to sing here, and you're going to sing Silent Night in Spanish first. In English first. Okay. Are we all ready to sing?
Yeah!
Hands up who's ready to sing. Wonderful. Okay, we're going to sing. Do we get a key here? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, only infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep.
Let's give them a big
wonderful. Well, thank you very much. It's wonderful to have you here, and it's always a special blessing when you come in and sing for us. What's the most important thing about this time of the year?
Jesus is born.
Jesus is born. Anybody? So what's really important? What's important about this time of the year?
Jesus' birthday.
It is Jesus' birthday. What else? Okay.
And my baby sister's birthday.
It's your sister's birthday. I think that's a very good thing. That's very important. That's okay. Well, we're all going to have a wonderful Merry Christmas. And you know something? Jesus sends Santa Claus to us. We all waiting for Santa Claus? Hands up, who's waiting for Santa Claus? Okay, Jesus gives gifts to Santa Claus and give them to us. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Okay, you go and have a great day now because we have to do adult prayers here. Wonderful.